Welcome to the show, Bert from Yanimize. How are you doing?
I am very well. Really excited to be on the Rap Pod.
Man, it's an honor to have you here.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
You are well known in the business, my friend.
We are well known. I'm trying to be humble about it.
Yeah, it's always good to be humble.
Exactly. No, but we've our social
media. Might be a bit hard for you though to be humble.
I'm humble. It's sometimes, you know, that when you sort of look at it from an outside perspective, looking into what we've achieved, it can be, you know, like you look at it and it's a little bit like, wow, look at what we've done.
We're going to get into it a little bit more. Before we all start with Yanimize and all of that, just give us a quick rundown on who you are, Bert, and what you're up to, what your position is at the company.
Okay, so my name's Bert, obviously, and I am the sales and operations manager here at Yanimize. I've been with...
You make everything work.
As I like to say it, I'm probably the one that does the most work between myself and Yanni. Although he does keep himself busy as well, but for me it's operationally making sure, you know, everything's done correctly to the standards that we try to set, you know, making sure our procedures are correct and getting the jobs done to the highest possible standards.
So before you became an operation manager, yes, at Yanimize, how did you get into the business?
So my background has always been in the motor industry anyway, barring a few years here and there, but I've sold cars, I've worked for main dealers, I've worked for car supermarkets, I've been in like service manager as well. I've done all sorts of different things, but it's always been in and around cars. So I was out one day and I bumped into the guys from Yanimize whilst I was out and about, and I sort of knew the guys anyway, and they pretty much invited me in and said, look, come and work for us. A week later, sat down with Yanni regarding what he would want me to do with the company, what he would expect and so on. 5 years later, pretty much, still doing what we're doing.
Cool. So for someone out there that might have missed it, I don't know how, what is Yanimize?
So Yanimize is a car wrapping company. We are based in London, England. Mm-hmm. We've been going for a good number of years now. So I think overall the company's been running for around about 12 years, I want to say, maybe slightly longer. And what sets us apart from everyone else is we tend to get quite a high profile customer base. We tend to have a high profile customer base. But we also tend to work on a lot of high end cars. So Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Maserati, Bentley, Porsche, tend to be the standard car here, if you like. Right. And then we don't discriminate. We work on anything with four wheels. We don't do
motorbikes.
Yeah. But we are known for the high-end car. So the supercar dealers and the supercar owners know us for working on those cars, hence why we're trusted with a lot more of them as the years go on.
I get it. So how does one come from maybe starting out wrapping just a normal car to just most of it wrapping supercars? What was the way for you? Yeah, the secret sauce. I know it's work, but usually, but what was it for you guys?
For us, the way it actually came about in terms of getting the high-end customer and the high-end car was one of Yanni's best friends is a guy called Bakary Sanya, used to play football for Arsenal.
Football, yeah.
Exactly. So he came over to France, come over from France, come to England, and literally got his car done with us pretty much immediately. And then he took his car into the training ground at Arsenal.
Right.
And all of the other players then obviously saw the car and what we'd done to it. And it snowballed from there. So off of the back of Bakary Sagna getting his car done, we then had William Gallas, who was at Arsenal at the time as well. Mm. And then William Gallas will introduce you to another player, and then it snowballs. And one of my favourite things about the football scene is when a player plays for Arsenal, for example, and then he gets sold in the summer and he goes somewhere else to, say, Manchester City. What that means for me is that his car will go from one training ground to a new training ground, which means I will then get the players from the new training ground looking at his car, then they will want something done as well.
So trading season for you is happy, is a Christmas season.
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan growing up, but, you know, as an Arsenal fan, when we lose our best players, it's annoying. But from a work perspective, when we lose our best players, especially if we've done cars for them, it's great because I know that they're going to go to a new training ground, new players are going to see the cars, and I'm going to get more business off the back of it.
So look at the positive things.
Absolutely, yeah. Always a silver lining.
So since you mostly work with high-end customers, let's talk a little bit before we go into the customers and how it all, what kind of standards it sets. Let's talk a little bit about the team. How are you guys set up?
So we have a number of staff here. So we are, I think we're around about 16 at the moment, members of staff. But the way we do things is probably slightly different to a lot of the industry. So,
all right, tell us about it.
So from what I see in the industry is a lot of wrap shops or wrap companies in the UK, Europe, stateside or whatever else. The wrapper generally washes the car, then strips the car down. So it takes the badges off, wing mirrors, door handles, whatever else, and then wraps the car. It does absolutely everything from start to finish. With us, we change that slightly. So if you're a wrapper working at Yanomize, your sole focus and the only thing you should be doing is wrapping cars. So we have technicians to strip the vehicle. I have guys that will just wash the vehicles. I have guys that do the QC side of things, the quality control and so on. So we split down. The saying is that, you know, you can't be, you're either a jack of all trades and you're a master of none. So we don't want to be that way. I want my guys to be masters of their own trade. So if you are a technician to strip the vehicle down or a mechanic or anything else, that's what you should be doing. If you're a wrapper, why are you taking parts off of the car or washing the car? That's, you know, concentrate on your wrap job.
It makes me think that it also makes you more effective, right?
Yeah, it keeps us much more effective and efficient in terms of what we do and how we do, because technically if you're wrapping from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, then, you know, they say you've got to do something for 100,000 hours to become an expert.
Right.
If you're doing that day in, day out, you're going to become an expert very quickly.
Yeah. So do you guys also do design in-house or is it mostly from out there?
So we don't do a huge amount of design in terms of like digital prints and stuff like that. However, I enjoy the design side of things. So I'm not super proficient when it comes to Photoshop or anything like that, but I can have an image or an idea in my head. And I've got a couple of my guys here that can make that reality. So I'll sit there with them at a PC or a laptop or whatever it may be and mess around with design. But we don't do crazy things that I've seen in this industry. We don't tend to do a lot like that. We tend to stick to more direct color change on vehicles and maybe like decals or stripes and stuff like that.
Cool. So that means that most of your guys are actually doing the works hand on, right? They're on the cars, either washing, removing or applying the vinyl.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the sales part of it all isn't that large. It's mostly wrappers.
That's where myself and Yanni, and we've just taken on a new member of staff in the office upstairs, a chap called Andrew, to work alongside us. So in terms of the sales side, that's where we do our bit. So obviously I look after operationally, like I said, but at the same time, one of my main focuses is to ensure that we are still bringing in business, keeping relationships with, because we do a lot of work with main dealers as well. So I can list Lamborghini, Ferrari, Maserati as direct customers from factory to us. And part of my job remit is to look after that and keep those relationships alive and successful.
Cool. Guessing you also are in charge of the personnel and seeing that they are up to par with what they're delivering. How do you decide if a rapper is good? What's the process of, for example, let's say someone wants to get into Yanimais or start rapping for you guys. What's the normal process?
So the way we do things, we're quite relaxed and quite laid back as a company. Mm-hmm. So to us, it doesn't matter what your CV says.
Right.
If you come in with, firstly, probably the most important thing is the right attitude to come to work and to do the job and to get it done correctly and efficiently. Sure. Of course, you have to have a skill in terms of, like, you know, how good your quality is, because at the end of the day, we are judged on our quality. So there are, you know, things that I can teach or my other rappers. So we have Nico and Mark over here, who are two Filipino guys that are unbelievable in terms of what they are capable of. So just by working alongside someone like that, you're going to be picking up, you know, right, little tips and tricks along the way. But essentially, the attitude is first for me. And then obviously you've got to have a decent skill set. And what we generally do is we invite people in for a trial. So if you've phoned us up or have sent a CV and it says, right, I have 5 years experience, come and prove it, is what we say. You weed out a lot of the fakes in the industry just by giving them a squeegee and some vinyl and a panel. You can see if someone's got the capability of doing what we need or what we would expect.
So what would you say is the number one quality for someone that is rapping high-end cars?
I don't know about number one, but there's a couple of things that I think all sit in the same bracket. So
right.
I think confidence is key. But at the same time, you have to have the patience, and you also have to understand where your capabilities lie as well. So a lot of it for me is pre-planning, you know, how you're going to wrap a certain panel. Listen, I'm not talking about a bonnet, because that's quite straightforward. But when you're looking at some of the wing mirrors or some of the door handles that you now see on high-end cars or supercars and stuff,
yeah,
before you attack it, have an idea of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Right. They're not always easy.
No. Some of the stuff that's coming out now is ridiculous. Like, I'm currently working on a McLaren 720S, and if you look at the doors of a McLaren 720, you have the door panel, but then you have a massive gap in behind, and then you've got the second part of the door, if that makes sense. So you've got a huge recess on that one door, and it's just like, wow, okay, how are we gonna,
that's not stretchable.
Yeah, you can't sort of make that happen. But you've got that, it goes back to planning and saying, you know what, if we're going to have a join line, this is where it's going to be, to make it as, you know, least visible as possible.
And so that's expectations towards the customer, talking with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, again, I'm always learning as well. So as much as I don't get my hands dirty in terms of actually rapping, I still learn from my rappers on a daily basis. So, you know, I rely on them, they rely on me to obviously get the job done and to ensure the cars are still coming in. But I rely on them in the sense that I can sell the product correctly with a customer understanding what is capable and what is not, subject to what vehicle we're working on.
Right, because you know what's good. Well, you know what's a good rep. You know what's possible. You know what's not possible. So
yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I try to do anyway is I try to learn about the rap industry in terms of from a rapper's perspective, but I also try to stay away from learning too much, because
yeah,
for me, I want to understand what a customer would see. So yeah, sometimes when we wrap a car, we'll pull it out of the workshop to give it a checkup in natural daylight. Mm-hmm. And I can stand there and say, do you know what? If that was my car and I'm just a normal customer, am I looking at this car and accepting it looks great, or what do I accept as good and what do I accept as bad? So I try to stay away from learning too much about the wrap industry from a technical perspective, so I can still stay relevant with what a customer would expect to see from us.
Right. So before we go into the customer side of it all, I want to talk about your shop.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures, I've seen videos. One often sees shops as being huge areas with a lot of space.
Yeah.
With a lot of free space to go around all the cars and whatever. Your shop is not like that. At least that's not what you're showing. It's a cozy shop. It's a small, it looks kind of small. It looks tight, but it looks neat.
I think if memory serves correctly, I think we're around about 3,000 square feet of usable workspace. We've got an upstairs as well of the unit, but that's all offices. You can't get a car up there. So we've only got like 3,000 square feet in the actual workshop. So what that sort of breaks down to is maybe 4 or 5 cars maximum we can hold.
That's in a tight position, or you can move freely?
You can move freely, but the problem... If you know how to. The problem we have is when we strip a car down and we go to the extent of taking doors off of cars, when you start taking panels off of cars and you have to put them somewhere safe, that's when you become tight. Right. So you might have a McLaren in the first bay, a Ferrari in the second bay, a Lamborghini in the third bay. If you've taken doors off all of them, you've now got 6 doors that you have to place in the workshop somewhere, amongst the cars, amongst the staff, amongst the vinyl, amongst the toolboxes of the technicians stripping the cars down. So it can become very, very tight.
Yeah, I'm just imagining it in my head.
It's hard work.
Making sure that people don't go over things.
Yeah, one of our biggest battles is space. And that's something we have looked at a numerous amount of times, like, do we move to a bigger premises? Yes, it would make things better in terms of from a working environment. But at the same time, a bigger space means more overheads, means more costs involved. Do I then have to increase prices for the actual wraps and stuff like that? And you know what? I don't necessarily want to do that. We are comfortable where we are. People know where we are as well. So it's that the relocation, and the problem with relocation is, will your staff go to the new premises, wherever that may be?
Right. London's a big city as well.
London's a big city. But sometimes with London, it could take you 45 minutes to drive 2 miles because of the traffic.
Yeah.
So where we're located is slightly outside of central London. But within close proximity. So it works for us where we are, and that's why we're most likely going to stay here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Well, something sounds well thought of.
We're constantly thinking about it and what we could do to improve, because you know what? We're not going to settle. The minute you settle in terms of thinking, you know, we're perfect, that's when you start going downhill. So we constantly look for ways to make things better, whether that be with space or staff or anything. If you stand still, you get overtaken.
Got it. So let's talk a little bit about what pays our bills, the customers.
Yes.
It's an interesting side of the business, as you may also agree. How do you, let's get to the nitty and gritty of the customers. How do you guys, do you select customers? Do you put a certain standard? And if the customer meets that, then they're welcome. If they're not, well, we're not the right shop for you. How do you go about it?
So we don't vet customers as such, but what we do is we've taken the stance that we only take on full car wraps. So we don't do just a roof wrap or just a spoiler wrap or just the wing mirrors on my car to be wrapped. If your car's not coming into us for a full wrap, then unfortunately we wouldn't take that on. Now,
got it.
It sounds like we're turning business away, which we are. But at the same time, because we are a small workshop, and we, because of our social media, we get quite a few inquiries every day.
I was going to ask you about that. It should be high amount, right?
Yeah, I will get on average, I would say maybe 40 to 60 emails a day inquiries. But then obviously we have the phone calls on top of that. And
the customers you're dealing with at
that present time, but also social media. So we get direct messages on Instagram, which if we reply, it's to say email us. We don't give quotes over direct messaging on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. So everything we revert back to the email. It's hard work.
Is it to keep track or what? Why just email?
Because you get to keep track of it and you can see where you're going. And then, you know, it's not just on one person's phone with my email. We can have the office set up. So if one person misses it, someone else will see it. Because the idea is I want to reply to absolutely every email. I want to answer every single phone call. Even if it's to say to someone, unfortunately, I can't do that job or whatever it may be. I'd rather be able to say, you know, we've answered the phone, we've replied to an email, you know, and that way a customer at least has a response from us.
How do you stay on top on that? Because it sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, hence why we've taken a new guy in the office upstairs to help us along with that. Because I was spending the best part of my day for a long time literally sitting there doing emails. Which means that I'm then off of the shop floor, or I can't do, you know, I can't spend my time more efficiently getting certain things done for the good of the business, or even look after clients that are already with us in terms of having their car already done. You know, it's nice to always revisit a customer, just to sort of say, you know, we're always here if you need us again. Because listen, people inevitably will have a car crash or an accident and they need to get a wing rewrapped on their car. You know, if I'm spending too much time looking for new business all the time, I can't look after the customers that have already been. And for me, a lot of our business is based on repeat business. It's one of those things that we, once you've spent your money with me, we don't forget about you. For me, you're now part of the Animize family, and forever, until you go somewhere else or until the day you decide you don't want no more car wraps on your vehicles, you're always going to be part of that, and I want you to be part of that.
All right. Let's say I'm a new customer at your shop.
Yeah.
Do you bring me in to take me in and talk about overlaps, where the cuts are, or I just leave in the car and let you go at it?
Depending on the car, and depending on the material that you go for, obviously we can sort of work out what's going to be, you know, if you're going to have a join line or if you're going to have a cut somewhere or anything like that, we can work all that out prior. So if you come in with, I don't know, whatever car, let's say a Lamborghini, and you wanted it in chrome, because, well, now some of the Avery chrome, for example, is coming in a slightly wider format, but previous to that, it was only at 1200 wide, you know. So to do certain panels on the car, you have to have join lines. So you'd go through all of that with a customer, so they are fully aware of what the capabilities are or on a vinyl. So whether it's a join line or whether it's, I don't know, where you finish, if they're not doing their door shuts, where do you finish the vinyl? We'll go through all of that, and I'm happy to have a customer come into the workshop. I will take them around to see cars that we're currently working on. So you can see a car in real life, not a show car. It's a car that I'm doing for someone else that's already paid me their money.
I will have what to expect.
Yeah, this is what to expect. This is how we look after your car. So this is where your car will be. You know, everything is geared up to say your car does not move from this space to we drive it, you know, up and down the country and then do something somewhere else. No, your car is with me constantly. From day one or minute one, you drop it off to the time it leaves. But we'll go through absolutely everything, show you where the fault lines are, show you how we would complete some of the stripes if you wanted stuff like that, or but then give you an you know, the final decision in terms of color and what you want as a detailing on the car. So if you want your wheels painted, calipers painted, window tints, or anything like that.
I was also wondering to ask you, do you have a preferred material you work with?
So we're big fans of Avery Supreme material. It's just probably the most consistent. They have a good color range, and it does what it needs to do. I don't want to name and shame other companies, but you know, I see imperfections in other materials where Avery is certainly the most consistent and the most conformable and the most easiest to work with.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was social media. You guys have exploded completely. I mean, you have about a million followers on YouTube. I don't know how many on Instagram.
How
did it all happen?
I would like to say it's in the last 5 years that I've been with the business. So
congrats.
Yeah, I'm going to take the credit for it. Do you know what it is? It's, I think one of the main reasons for it is because, like, for example, the YouTube side of things, we take it fairly seriously. So we have two full-time members of staff in our YouTube department, if you like, who shoot the videos, edit the videos, and get those up onto the channel. And we try to be as consistent as we can with that also.
So what are you putting, one a week or how many?
So I think currently we're running at one a week in terms of a car wrap video. But we've started a vlog series as well. Oh, sorry, two a week. I'm just being told by one of my editors who's sitting next to me as we talk. So we do two a week in terms of a car wrap video. But we've started a new vlog series as well. So that's every second week as well. So every 2 weeks that comes out. So we try to be consistent with stuff like that. And I think consistency is probably the key, because if you're a little bit sporadic with, you know, oh, I'm going to put a video here, and then you don't put a video out for maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, people are going to like lose interest. So we try to be consistent, but we also do that with Instagram as well. So, pretty much every day we will post maybe four to six photos, but
that's a lot.
It is a lot. But that's a lot from what I see, you know, looking at other people. Half of the battle is the content. So we are fortunate and, you know, enough to have a whole
cool
host
cars.
Of cars. Yeah. And it's all real. None of it is fake, or nothing is staged. We don't phone up a friend that we know has a car to say, I'll bring it in so I can take a photo. No, everything you see on our Instagram is 100% real. It's real life customers, real life people coming in with real life cars. And I think because we've always done that, I think people buy into that as well. And hence why we've picked up a following off of the back of that, because they understand that we're always going to post something new. So we won't post the same car 300 times, you know? So you're always going to see something fresh. So I think that's the main part of it. Whereas, again, like I say, from what I see in the industries elsewhere or anything else, social media wise, a lot of people tend to have the same cars, but just repeated.
Right. So help me figure something out. You have a large presence on social media. You do a lot of videos, which also should entitle you to be on top of mind of people. But the most part of your business is the high end. How do the videos tie into it all? Is it you just keep the name up so that people know you, remember you? Because, I mean, the high-end cars is usually people that know each other, that recommend each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you remove the social media aspect away from it, what we're fundamentally known for is the quality of our work. So right. If you drive a £300,000 supercar and you want it wrapped and you take it to one shop and within 2 weeks of having the wrap done, all the vinyl is peeling back or you have bubbles everywhere or it's just not a good quality job.
And then screwed.
Yeah. And then you come to us and you have the car for 2 years. And in that 2 years, you don't have an issue. You're going to then recommend us to someone else. Right. A supercar owner will generally know another supercar owner. Or sure. If he doesn't, he will be invited to track days, race days with his supercar dealer. So Lamborghini will have track days for a new car coming out for their client, yeah. You know, and that's how you build up right. A network that way. But on top of that, obviously, our director, Yanni, has a supercar himself. He is a supercar owner and a supercar driver. And he's already in those sorts of circles where he knows people that own supercars. You know, and we constantly have his car wrapped. He probably changes his wrap the most. Anyway, he probably has 3, 4, 5, 6 different wraps on his car a year. And
yeah, but it's all PR, so yeah, it's all
branding. Yeah, so there's the PR, there's the branding around it and whatever else. But he drives his cars. Like, for example, his Aventador now, his Aventador S, he's not had it too long, and he's put quite a bit of mileage on it already because he drives. But people will then see the car and look at it and look at the quality that we achieve. So, you know, because we're so well known on social media, when people see the car, we're there to be shot at. People are going to look at the car and scrutinize it to see how good our work is. So if it's not top notch, you know, we're then going to lose, you know, the faith of the client.
Got it. We also need to get into something else, and that is the series, right?
Yes.
You have, well, I know you've done one with about 20 episodes.
Yes.
But you have another one on the way, right?
Yeah. So series one of Yanni Supercar Customizer was shown on Channel Dave here in the UK. And I think it's been sold to a few bits around the world as well. So I know if you were to catch a flight with British Airways, they are showing certainly an episode on the plane as well, which is cool. So yeah, you know, it's hopefully it gets sold around a little bit more so everyone around Europe can see it. Listen, that'd be great. That'd be amazing for us. But yeah, but we are fortunate enough to have been signed off for season 2 of the TV show, which as we speak, we are actually currently filming. So for the last 7 weeks, we've had a camera crew in the workshop so far. Yeah. And we've got another 3 weeks or so to go. I think it is filming. So
every day.
Yeah. So they're filming for another 20 episodes, which means 20 A stories, so full car wraps, and 20 B stories. So we've got to basically do 40 cars within that period as well. So wow. Hard work. It's you know, it can be quite draining because, you know, you've got a camera in your face on a daily basis. And that can be
quite, not normal.
Yeah, it's not normal. But somehow it has become normal over here. Because we've always done the social media thing, we've always done the YouTube side of things as well. It's not, you know, weird to have a camera guy standing in front of you with a camera. This just is personified a little bit more because it's maybe 3 or 4 camera guys taking different angles of you at the same time, with TV grade cameras. So, you know, the big camera that sits on their shoulder, compared to like a SLR camera and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's fantastic because it raises awareness for us as a company. But I think what it also does for the rap industry is it raises awareness for everyone.
Because I was meaning to ask you that. What does the series mean for you? But also, what do you think it means for the industry?
I think anything highlighted on the industry, so if our industry highlighted in a good way, is brilliant for everyone involved. And that's, it includes me, it includes any other rap companies up and down the UK, but the rap companies around Europe, what it's doing is putting rap in more to the mainstream. Because sometimes I feel like the rap industry still has an underground feel to it.
Mm.
Because obviously what you'll see is your main dealer groups and so on. They paint cars. That's it. When you go and buy a new car from Range Rover tomorrow, they're going to say, here you go, Mr. Customer. Here's 20 colors. Which one do you want? Why?
Yeah, it's a young industry.
Yeah. So the rap industry is still a little bit underground. It's still a little bit in its infancy, although it has been around for a number of years. And it's just, it highlights it and it brings it to the mainstream and it allows people to see what is possible. You know, you can have a wild and wacky color if you wanted to. You can have something quite subtle. You can have everything. And you know why? We're as a society, as a bunch of people, everyone wants a one-off item. Everyone aspires to have a limited edition, whatever it is. So why doesn't that translate to your car as well?
You were saying about what's possible. So where do you see the industry going? What trends do you see coming?
I actually think that in terms of colors and stuff like that, there's always going to be new colors coming out and different shades of color and stuff like that. So that's always going to evolve. But how I actually see the industry going is I think main dealer groups and car manufacturers are, that they need to look at wrapping and sort of embrace it a little bit. So what I would like to see is the main dealers and the car manufacturers taking wrapping a step further and offering, you know, certain things to clients when they buy a car, just straight from the dealership.
So that's an added value?
Yeah, so like an added value. But what people don't realize is although you can change the color of a car and everything's cool and whatever else, wrapping, it adds protection, you know? So there's that aspect of it as well. You know, okay, it's not quite PPF in terms of the clear paint protection stuff that go on through the cars, but at the same time, it will add a degree of protection to your car. So even if you wrap the car in the same color as it's painted, why wouldn't you do it, you know? You look after everything else. You put a case on your mobile phone. Why don't you put a case on your car?
Agree. Let's talk a little bit about challenges.
Cool.
What challenges do you have over the Anyways?
Our biggest challenge here is getting cars in, keeping up with the demand and being able to get cars in, completed, out to a high standard. It's always a challenge because there's like I said to you earlier, we have a huge amount of inquiries a day, and then there's people that want to get their cars in straight away. I normally run between an 8 to 12 week waiting list for a car to be booked in, and
that is
that's hard.
Quite a while.
Yeah, so that's the biggest challenge we face is how quick I can get a customer in. And I don't like letting anyone wait, but especially if you've had two or three cars already done with me, it makes it even harder to say to someone, okay, you have to now wait another 10 weeks before I can get the next car in.
Do people understand?
Yeah, they do. Obviously, you do have some clients that are so wealthy, because we tend to have a lot of Russians and guys from the Middle East that a lot of the time money doesn't really matter. Yeah. So they will say to me, okay, if my job is X amount of money, if I pay you double, can you bring me in a week next week? And it's like, it's not to do with the money. The money's not the problem. It's about the space. Like we said, we only have a small-ish workshop, you know, so and I've only got a limited amount of staff, and you know, it's very hard to manage that and get that done. But
yeah, you know, I've
been doing it for a number of years now, so people, they almost expect us to be busy now, you know. So it's becoming a little bit easier, but not easy.
If you're good, you're good.
Yeah, listen, it's testament to the guys downstairs doing the wrapping. I wouldn't be able to have an 8 to 12 week wait list if it wasn't for the fact that they were good at what they're doing.
Yeah, it means you have to be good.
Exactly. So, you know, I applaud them more than, you know, it's the me being a great salesman. It's more the quality that we're producing.
Maybe it's all a team effort, right?
Yeah, listen, it is a team effort, but I can't pat myself on the back. So I'll give them the credit.
I got it. So what's coming up next for Yanimize? What's the future? Is it worldwide expansion? Is it, what is it? What can you tell?
There's a few things in the pipeline that I can't really expand on a little bit, or at all really at the moment. There's some real exciting projects coming up. I would love to open up abroad. I would love to do the Middle East. I would love to do stateside.
Where would you go if you could go freely everywhere in the world? What country would you choose? Where?
I love the Middle East, and I think the guys in the Middle East, in and around that region, have got a real passion for cars as well. But it sits perfectly within the types of cars that we already play with. So when you think of like Dubai and Qatar and Oman and wherever else, you think Ferrari, you think Lamborghini, you see that type of car. So for me, it makes sense to do something like that. But listen, I'm not going to rule out anywhere. Stateside is huge because America is massive. You know, there's, from what I see, again, I don't think there's a huge amount of guys in America that are doing the job like amazingly well. There's a handful of companies that we all probably know, like West Coast Customs and so on, for example, is the one that springs to mind, that everyone knows about. So I'm open to it wherever it takes us.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about projects.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put you in the spot and ask you what project are you most proud of, because there are so many projects probably during all those years. Yeah. What projects comes to mind that you think, wow, I'm extra proud of this one for whatever reason?
We done an Aston Martin Vulcan, which is the race car. And we wrapped that car in chrome black. The reason it springs to mind, first and foremost, the car is ridiculous. There's only 24 of them in the world. It's valued at a couple of million pounds. So it's a super rare car, and you have to be invited, I think, to purchase one. So you have to have a history with buying Aston Martins to be able to buy the Vulcan. But the reason it stands or springs to mind is, number one, the job was immense anyway. So that, again, you know, I'll pat Nico and Mark on the back, our two guys that worked on that. But we had to go to the Aston Martin facility. So we couldn't have the car on site to wrap it. We had to go to Aston Martin. So their race technicians pulled the car apart for us. So if we needed something taken off, it would be done by them. So that was quite hard. You know, I say hard, but it was... You're in someone else's area, you're in their domain, you're in their workshop, or you're in their space. It's different to being in your own space. That was first and foremost. But the reason it was good for me on a personal level is the customer that had that done, it took me 3 years to sort of build his trust almost, and to get a job out of him in the first instance. So he come in 3 years prior with an Aventador Lamborghini, and tried to convert him to go for a wrap. He didn't want to necessarily wrap it, he just wanted paint protection film on there, because he loved the color so much. I think it was a special order color that he had ordered on that car. But we kept in touch, and then we done a roof wrap on his Hurricane, which again, I said earlier, we don't do part wraps.
But yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Because I spent so long, like, you know, building up a relationship with this guy.
Yeah, what the heck?
You know what? I'm going to do it just to say I finally managed to do something for him. But then once he saw that, we then got the Vulcan. That was the next job he gave us. And it was like, wow, okay, it's a £2 million supercar or race car. And to be trusted with something like that. And it's, you know, a ridiculously loud color as well. So the chrome black, where all the other Vulcans were like just painted red or painted green or something like that. So this one really, really stood out. So that's one that certainly springs to mind. But there's been a load of cars that we've worked on that I'm probably missing, and I'll probably get shouted at when we listen to this podcast back.
We'll do a session number two then.
There's so many, but like, for example, we're doing a car next week. The car's already arrived with me for Josh Cartoon. So I'm doing a Ferrari 812 Superfast for him in a full digital print design. And that's going to be going on to the Gumball Rally this year. So that's a real exciting project to be part of, because it's, I can't go too much into detail, but essentially it's a matte chrome custom vinyl with reflective vinyl on top as well. But you need to see it once it's done to fully appreciate.
Looking forward for the pictures.
It'll be a cool car. It'll be a cool car. So there's a load of cars. I just, you forget about half of them.
Do you guys get a lot of Gumball cars?
So we've got, I've got two Gumball cars with me as we speak. And I've got one guy that phoned me up earlier today for potentially getting the car in for next week, and Gumball is next weekend. Yeah. So he's left it really, really, really late to try and get his car wrapped. I'm just working with him at the moment to see if there's anything we can do to help him.
What is your dream wrap? What would you like to wrap?
What type of car, you mean?
It doesn't have to be a car, really. It could be something else.
If I could wrap anything, again, we've been spoilt here. So I've done a Porsche 918, I've worked on a 918, I've done a Bugatti Veyron, we've done the Vulcan. What else have we
it's
done?
It's hard to meet, right?
Yeah, it's hard, but we've worked on a Pagani Huayra, which was cool. But we done like stripes and decals on that as opposed to a full wrap. So I think for me personally, I'd like to get a Pagani in for a full wrap. My favorite car is the Pagani Zonda. So if I can get a Zonda into the workshop, I think that will be amazing for me. But if you take it away from cars, you can do private jets and, you know, super yachts and stuff like that. That would be cool.
That needs to be kind of like next step for you guys, because you already have the customers. So if they have the money for the cars, they probably have the money for the jets.
Yeah, listen, I've certainly got customers that own private jets. It's just convincing one or two of them to say, right, come and wrap it.
Let's do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Bert, I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you very much for talking to us. It's been a true pleasure getting an insight into how you guys work. Besides, I've seen all the videos and all of following you on Insta, it's been an honor, really. So thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us on, just to be fair. And, you know, listen, I listen to the Rap Pod anyway, so to be part of it now is quite an honor for me. So thank you.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing what you guys are up to in the future.
We've got some exciting stuff coming, so keep watching.
I don't doubt it. Okay, thank you very much, Bert. Bye-bye.
No worries. Thank you. Cheers.